إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Then to restart the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, which is basically Fath al-Majid, then we reached chapter 19 of the Arabic, which is chapter 20 in the English translation. بَابُ مَا جَاءَ مِنَ التَّغْلِيذِ فِي مَنْ عَبَدَ اللَّهَ عِنْدَ قَبْرِ رَجُلٍ صَالِحٍ فَكَيْفَ إِذَا عَبَدَهُ Chapter, what is reported with regard to condemnation of one who worships Allah at the grave of a righteous man. Then how about if he actually worships that person or grave? And the explainer says, with regard to the chapter heading, إِذَا عَبَدَهُ if he worships him or it, he says, meaning, if he actually worshipped that righteous man. Because worshipping him is a shirk al-akbar. Worshipping the occupant of a grave is major shirk. And worshipping Allah near him is a means leading to worshipping that person. So worshipping, as he said, worshipping the person inside the grave, actually worshipping him, is major shirk. Takes a person outside Islam. And worshipping Allah, but choosing that place, worshipping Allah at that place, at the grave of the righteous man, is a means which leads onto worshipping the man inside the grave. And the means which lead to shirk are forbidden because they will lead onto major shirk, and that is the greatest of sins. And then he brings the first hadith in the chapter. في الصحيح عن عائشة أن أم سلمة ذكرت لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كنيسة رأتها بأرض الحبشة وما فيها من الصور فقال أولئك إذا مات فيهم الرجل الصالح أو العبد الصالح بنوا على قبره مسجدا وصوروا فيه تلك الصور أولئك شرار الخلق عند الله فهؤلاء جمعوا بين فتنتين فتنة القبور وفتنة التماثيل. He said, and it occurs in the Sahih from Aisha that Salama mentioned to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam a church which she had seen in the land of Abyssinia, and mentioned the images that were contained in it. So he said, those people, when a righteous man or a righteous servant dies, then they build a place of worship upon his grave. And they make those images in it. Those people are the worst of the creation, with Allah. So what those people did is that they combined two evil tribulations: the evil tribulation of the graves and the evil tribulation of having statues. The explainer said, he's saying, وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ in the Sahih. Here it means in the two Sahihs, that of Al-Bukhari and that of Muslim. And Al-Bukhari brings the hadith in a number of places in his Sahih, and you'll find it in the Book of Prayer, chapter 48. And in the book, The Virtues of the Ansar, chapter 37. And in the book of Funerals, chapter 70. And Muslim brings it in his Sahih in the book of the book of Mosques, the book of Masajid. Then the explainer says, he's saying, Anna Umma Salama, that Salama. And he says who she was. She was, Salama was Hind, the daughter of Abi Umayyah, Ibn al-Mughira, Ibn Abdullah, Ibn Amr, Ibn Makhzum al-Qurashiyah. She was obviously from the tribe of Quraysh, al-Makhzumiyah, from the branch of Banu Makhzum. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her after the death of Abu Salama. After her previous husband Abu Salama died, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her. And that was in the year 4 after the Hijrah, or it is said in the year 3. And before that, she made Hijrah. She migrated to Abyssinia along with Abu Salama, and she died in the year 62 radiallahu anha. So she died out of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just another extra point, she died in the year 62. And then in the next year, year 63, Maymuna radiallahu anha died, and they were the last two wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to die in the year 62 63. Then the explainer says, he's saying, ذَكَرَتْ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that she mentioned, Salama mentioned to Allah's Messenger صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And he says, and there occurs in the two Sahihs of Al-Bukhari and Muslim that Habiba and Salama mentioned this to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in most of the reports reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others from the Sunan, it doesn't just say that Salama mentioned it, it mentions both Salama and Habiba, both of them mentioned the same incident or the same matter. And with regard to Habiba, then she was as well the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mother of the believers, Ramla bint Abi Sufyan al-Amawiyyah. And she died in the year 44 radiallahu anha. And he says, and the saying al-Kanisa, she mentioned a Kanisa, it is the place where the Christians worship. His saying ula'iki, with a kasra at the end of it, ula'iki, it occurs here in the form of a dress used for women. He's making a language point. He's speaking about those people, the Christians in Habasha. He's speaking about them and telling his wife. So he's addressing a woman So in a case like that, there's two ways you can say it. You can say ulaika, just with reference to the ones you are speaking about, the people of Habasha, or you can use it in the form of address that you are speaking to a woman, ulaiki. And either are permissible in the language. Then he says, قَوْلُهُ إِذَا مَاتَ فِيهِمُ الرَّجُلُ الصَّالِحُ أَوِ الْعَبْدُ الصَّالِحُ. If a righteous man or a righteous servant dies amongst them, the explainer says, this, and Allah knows best, is a doubt from one of the narrators of the hadith. That did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this or that? Meaning, did a narrator somewhere down the chain, he is saying, he doubted what was narrated to him. Had the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a righteous man dies amongst them, or had he said, when a righteous servant dies amongst them? And the explainer says, and this, and Allah knows best, is a doubt from one of the narrators. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this or that? So this shows being careful when narrating. Being careful when narrating. And the permissibility of narrating with meaning. Narrating a text by its meaning. And just as an extra point, the reports that Al-Bukhari brings, and Muslim, and An-Nasa'i, and Ahmad, all of the reports they bring through different narrators, they mention the wording Ar-Rajul As-Salih. إِذَا مَاتَ فِيهِمُ الرَّجُلُ الصَّالِحُ. If a righteous man dies amongst them. And one of the narrations in Bukhari, from one of the narrators, who was Abada ibn Sulaiman, he narrates the hadith with the word Al-Abd al-Salih. Wallahu a'lam. Then the explainer says, قَوْلُهُ وَصَوَّرُوا فِيهِ تِلْكَ السُّوَرُ. And they make those images in it. He says, an indication, meaning those images, indicating that which was mentioned by Salama and Habiba, with regard to the images that they had seen in the church. And he's saying, أُولَٰئِكَ شِرَارَ الْخَلْقِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They are the worst of the people with Allah. The explainer says, so this necessitates forbiddance of building mosques upon graves. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed those. He did la'an. He cursed those who did that, as will follow in the chapter. And Al-Baydawi said, because of the fact that the Jews and the Christians used to prostrate to graves of the prophets out of veneration for them, and because they used to take them as a direction for their prayers, and because they used to take them as idols, therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed them. And Al-Qurtubi said, Al-Qurtubi is giving a quote, why they erected these images. Why did they put these images into the places of prayer? Al-Qurtubi said, the reason that they made, or the first of them made those images, was in order to take them as an example to be followed. I mean, they made images of their righteous people who died. When they died, the same as the people of Nuh alayhi salam did. When their righteous people died, they made images of them in order to remember them and remember their good and to worship Allah in the same way that they had worshipped him, and to follow them in their good as they claimed, and as Shaitan whispered to them. So Al-Qurtubi said, they only made the images of their forefathers in order to take them as examples to follow and to remember their righteous actions, and so that they would strive like they used to strive. And they started to worship Allah at their graves. But then, after them came a people who were ignorant of what they had intended. And Satan whispered to them that their forefathers used to worship these images and used to venerate them. So therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade all of this in order to block the way which would lead into that. End of the quote from Al-Qurtubi. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade the very first step. He forbade the making of those images, which would then lead on to veneration of the images, which would lead on to worship of the images and those in the graves. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the very first step, making the images altogether. He said, قَوْلُهُ فَهَؤُلَاءِ جَمَعُوا بَيْنَ فِتْنَتَيْنَ فِتْنَةَ الْقُبُورِ وَفِتْنَةَ التَّمَاثِيلِ. So those people gathered between two evil tribulations, the tribulation of graves and the tribulation of statues. Then the explainer says, this is from the speech of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala. This is contrary to what you find in the English translation. That sentence there at the end is not from the hadith. It's a word of explanation of the hadith from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. They're saying, so those people gathered together between two evil tribulations. That's not from the hadith. So the author, rahimahullah, mentioned this saying to draw attention to how severe a tribulation those people fell into with regard to graves and statues. Because the tribulation, the trial, the fitna that comes about because of graves is just like the fitna that comes about through idols, or even worse. Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, and he gives a long quote from him, he said, and this reason because of which he sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade taking mosques upon the graves, it is the same reason that caused many nations to fall into either major shirk or shirk that is lesser than it. Because it is a fact that people's souls committed shirk because of images of the righteous, and because of images which they claimed to be talismans relating to the stars and so on. Because shirk coming about because of the grave of a man about whom it is believed that he is a righteous man is more acceptable to people's souls than shirk because of a wooden figure or a stone. So he's making a point that that is most acceptable to people. The shirk that most people will accept who commit shirk is not the shirk of worshipping stones or the shirk of worshipping idols made of wood. It's the shirk of worshipping graves of righteous men or men they think are righteous. That's what most people who commit shirk fall into. And it becomes acceptable to their souls because they think this is a grave of a righteous man, a pious man, and they end up worshipping him. Then Shaykh al-Islam said, and therefore you will find the people of Shirk humbling themselves at these graves and being submissive and worshipping with their very hearts with such a degree of worship that they do not even show in Allah's houses, nor in the last hours of the night. And now he's describing the situation of the people of Shirk, the ones who worship the graves, the sort of people that you find within the Ummah who worship these graves, and how they are. He said, just to repeat that bit, he said, so you will find them, these people of Shirk, humbling themselves at these graves and being fully submissive, worshipping with their very hearts with such a degree of worship that they will not do or not show even in Allah's houses, meaning even in the mosques you won't see them worshipping like that, nor even in the last hours of the night. And there are some of them who prostrate to these graves, and most of them they hope to attain blessings from praying at these graves and making supplication there. They have such hope that they do not have when they are in the mosques. So because of this evil, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cut off this matter from its very roots, to the extent that he even forbade praying towards a grave altogether, or rather he forbade praying in a graveyard altogether, even if the person praying does not intend any blessing in praying there, just as he intends blessing by praying in the mosques. In the same way, a person is forbidden from praying at the time of sunrise and sunset, because these are times when the people of Shirk, when the mushriks, deliberately choose to pray to the sun. So therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade his ummah from praying at those times, even if they are not intending what the mushriks intend, in order to block off any road that could lead into evil. Then he says, and as for a person seeking to pray at the graves, seeking blessings in praying there at that place, then this is exactly showing enmity to Allah and to His Messenger, and contradicting His religion and His innovation, innovating in the religion that which Allah has not permitted. Because the Muslims are agreed upon the fact that is known necessarily from the religion of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that praying to the graves is something forbidden, and also that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed those people who take them as places of prayer. So from the worst of innovations and causes of shirk is to pray at the graves and to take them as mosques and to build mosques upon them. And there are very, very many texts from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbidding that and severely condemning it. And the great majority of all the groups clearly state that it is forbidden to build mosques upon the graves. And in this they are following the sunnah that is authentic and clear. And the students of Imam Ahmad and others, from the students of Malik and Ash-Shafi'i, clearly state that that is forbidden, haram, building mosques over the graves. And a group of scholars state it to be hated, makruh, hated. And what is right in that regard is to take that to mean the hatred that is a forbiddance. Kirahat tahrim. Because there's sometimes the people of knowledge, the scholars, use the word karaha, hatred, to mean a dislike that is not forbidden. And sometimes they use the word to mean a hatred that is forbidden, is haram, is so hated that it's haram. So Shaykh al-Islam is saying what is fitting in this regard is that when we see any of the scholars who said it was hated, that we take it to mean hated, meaning forbidden, haram. In order that we should have good thoughts about the scholars, and that we should not think that they would permit the doing of something which it is well reported from the Prophet, well reported from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he cursed the one who did it and that he forbade it. And that's the end of the speech from Shaykh al-Islam. Then the author brings the second hadith in the chapter.
ولهما عنها قالت لما نزل برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طفق يطرح خميصة له على وجهه فإذا اغتم بها كشفها فقال وهو كذلك لعنة الله على اليهود والنصارى اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد يحذر ما صنعوا ولولا ذلك أبرز قبره غير أنه خشي أن يتخذ مسجدا أخرجاه.
And the two of them report, meaning Al-Bukhari and Muslim, as in the first hadith, they report from her, meaning from the same reporter as the first hadith, from Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, when death approached Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he began pulling a covering sheet of his over his face. And so when it became difficult for him to breathe because of it, he removed it. And he was in that state and said, may Allah's curse be upon the Jews and the Christians. They took the graves of their prophets as places of prayer. He was warning against what they had done. And if it were not for that, then his grave would have been made open, except for the fact that he feared that it would be taken as a place of prayer, reported by the two of them. And you'll find it reported by Al-Bukhari in the Book of Funerals, Janaiz, chapter 61, hadith number 1330, and reported by Muslim, hadith number 529 and 531. And in other places as well. The explainer said, وَلَهُمَا, and the two of them report, meaning Al-Bukhari and Muslim report it. So this suffices his saying at the end of it, the two of them report it. I mean, it didn't need to be stated at the start of the hadith and at the end of the hadith.
قَوْلُهُ لَمَّا نُزِلَ,
his saying, when it came down to him, meaning when the angel of death and the noble angels alayhimu salam came down. His saying tafiqa, and you can say tafiqa or you can say tafaqa with a kasra on the fa or a fatha on the fa. And the saying tafiqa with a kasra is more correct in the language. And that is how it occurs in the Qur'an. And its meaning is ja'ala, that's something he was doing, something he started doing. His saying khamisa,
خميصة. It is, it's a covering cloth, a square covering cloth which has designs upon it. He's saying, فَإِذَا اغْتَمَّ بِهَا كَشَفَهَا. He removed it. When it became difficult for him to breathe, he كَشَفَهَا, removed it. Meaning, he removed it away from his face. He's saying, لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدٍ. The explainer said, so he made clear that whoever does the like of this, whoever takes the graves of their prophets as places of prayer, whoever does the like of this, then they will receive the same curse that the Jews and the Christians received. And just as a side point here, which Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar brings in Fath al-Bari, he raised something that could be a problem in some people's understanding in this hadith, and Ibn places of prayer. And Ibn Hajar made the point that with regard to the Jews, that's clear that the Jews had many prophets, and they took their places of where they were buried as places of prayer. But with regard to the Christians, then the only one that they had was Isa alayhi salam. Or the only one that they claim to be following is Isa alayhi salam, and he does not have any grave. So how can the hadith mention the fact that the Jews and the Christians took the graves of their prophets as places of prayer? So Ibn Hajar, he answered it by saying, and he gave two answers to this. He said, one, what is meant by the prophets that they took the graves of their prophets is that that refers to the Jews. And also, it refers to prophets and their followers, the followers of prophets, their important followers. So meaning with regard to the Christians, it means people who followed on from the prophets, meaning later followers, important followers of Isa alayhi salam, that they took their graves as places of prayer. And he said, and this is supported by a narration reported by Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, they used to take the graves of their prophets and their righteous men as mosques, as places of prayer. So he actually stated that they take the graves of their prophets and also, meaning their righteous men, as places of prayer. So that's one answer that he gives to it. And he said, and therefore, when the Christians, and he mentions a hadith, where the hadith occurs in Bukhari, there's a hadith after it and a hadith before it. He says, and therefore, when the Christians were mentioned on their own in the hadith before it, Bukhari's hadith number 434, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the Christians, إِذَا مَاتَ فِيهِمْ الرَّجُلُ الصَّالِحُ. If a righteous man used to die amongst them, that they would take his grave, as occurred in the first hadith here. And when the Jews were mentioned on their own in the hadith after it, Bukhari, hadith number 437, he said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودِ اِتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدِ. May Allah's curse be upon the Jews, they took the graves of their prophets as places of prayer. And that's the first answer he gives. And then the second answer he gives is, or it can be explained by saying that the Jews, they initiated the taking of the graves of prophets as places of prayer, and then the Christians followed them in that. Since there is no doubt that the Christians venerate many graves of prophets that are venerated by the Jews as well. Wallahu a'lam. And then back to what the explainer brings. He said, قوله يحذر مَا صَنَعُوا, his saying, he was warning against what they had done. The explainer says, what is apparent is that this was from the speech of Aisha. He warned against what they did. This was from the speech of Aisha radiallahu anha, because she understood from the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that occurred here. She understood from that a warning to his ummah against doing this thing which the Jews and Christians had done with regard to the graves of their prophets, because that was a case of ghulu, going beyond the bounds with regard to the prophets, and it was one of the greatest of means leading to shirk. And so, the explainer says, and so it is from the state of Islam's being gharib, it is from the state of Islam's being a stranger now, that we see that this thing which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the doer of and warned his ummah against, that warned them against doing it with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or with the righteous from his ummah, we find that it has been committed by many of the creation from the later comers of this very ummah. They have done it. What he warned against and what he cursed the people for doing, the late comers from this ummah have done it. And not only that, but they believe it to be an act of worship which draws them closer to Allah. Whereas in reality, it is one of the worst of evil deeds and wicked sins. And they do not even realize that this is opposition to Allah and His Messenger. And Al-Qurtubi said, in explanation of the meaning of this hadith, why this was mentioned in the hadith, Al-Qurtubi said, all of this was to cut off any path leading to the worship of those within the graves, since it was the means that led on to the worship of the idols. That's the end of his quote. I mean, this very thing, placing images over the graves and taking the graves as places of prayer and building mosques over the graves, this was exactly the thing that led to the shirk in the very first place. When shirk first appeared with the people of Nuh, it was exactly the same thing, the same cause and the same process. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade any of this, anything that would lead to it. Then the explainer says, since there is no difference between worshipping the grave and worshipping the one who is in the grave and worshipping an idol. And that's an extremely important point he brings. There is no difference which of these is worshipped, whether it's a grave that is worshipped, or whether it's a person in the grave that's worshipped, or whether it is an idol that's worshipped. All the same. And consider the saying of Allah the Most High about his prophet Yusuf ibn Ya'qub, when he said, وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَاءِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Surah Yusuf, ayah 38, with a rough explanation that I have followed, when he said to his companions in the prison, I have followed the religion of my forefathers, Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ya'qub. It was not right for us to associate anything in worship with Allah. He said, so that the saying here, min shay, is an indefinite word. Anything is an indefinite word in a statement of denial. So it covers every form of shirk. Contains a forbiddance of any kind of shirk whatsoever. It doesn't matter what thing is worshipped, for prohibition is there, whether it's a person in a grave, whether it's the grave itself, or whether it's just an idol, all the same. Then the explainer says, قَوْلُهُ وَلَوْلَا ذَلِكَ, if it were not for that, meaning, if it were not for his, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, warning about taking the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a place of prayer, if it were not for that warning, then his grave would have been made open. And his grave would have been made along with the graves of the companions, those who were buried in Al-Baqi. I mean, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam hadn't given this warning, then they would have buried him along with the rest of his companions in the graveyard in Al-Baqi. But because of this warning, they didn't do so. They didn't leave his grave open for fear that this would happen. The explainer says, he's saying, غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ خَشِيَ أَن يُتَّخَذَ مَسْجِدًا, except that he feared that it would be taken as a place of prayer. This wording here is reported, خَشِيَ and خُشِيَ. He feared, or it was feared. So in the first, he feared, it would mean that it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who feared that, and therefore commanded them to bury him in the place where he died. And in the second narration of it, khushiya, it was feared. Then it is possible that what is meant is that it was the companions, they are the ones who feared that, and feared that some of the ummah would do that, would take his grave as a place of prayer. And so therefore they did not make his grave open, for fear that some of the ummah would fall into ghulu, into exaggeration and excessive veneration. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had continuously forbidden them and warned them against that and cursed the person who does it, even despite all that, the companions feared that still people would ignore that and would still fall into it. Then finally, he quotes Al-Qurtubi. Al-Qurtubi said, and therefore, the Muslims went to great lengths to block any such road to evil with regard to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what they did is that they blocked off all the walls surrounding his grave, and they closed all the doors to it. And they made the walls to totally surround his grave, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yet still they feared that the people might be able to take it as a direction for prayer if it was left in front of the people who were praying, such that what they did, they treated someone even praying towards it, they treated that as worshipping it. So what the Muslims did, they built two more walls at the northern end, at the back of where his house is, where his grave was. They built two extra walls at different angles to it, so that they formed a triangular shape, so that no one could pray towards the grave. The end of the quote from Al-Qurtubi. He's just describing all the way in which they surrounded the house, the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with walls, and the way they blocked anyone from getting in, and then still they made at the back walls at an angle, so that somebody wouldn't be able to take it as a qibla and claim, I'm just praying towards the qibla, my normal prayer. They made walls at such a shape and such a slant that they couldn't do that. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. And with regard to the next hadith, then we'll move on to it next time, inshaAllah. Hadith of Jundub ibn Abdullah. Anything quickly need clarifying?
Find that Allah curses someone, it means that the father removed from any good. same apply to that? Or how do we understand that the curse is the same for Jews and the Christians?
Wallahu a'lam, the answer to that, and briefly, one thing that he meant, the explainer mentioned in the explanation, was that somebody who prays towards a grave, praying towards that person who's in the grave, basically directing worship towards him with that intention, he's doing major shirk. Or intending worship to that grave, he's doing major shirk. You know, as in the very chapter, the actual chapter heading. What is reported with regard to condemnation of those who worship Allah at the place, at the grave of a man, a righteous man. And how about if he worships him? I mean, if they actually worship the person who's in the grave, intending to be worshipping him, or intending to be worshipping the grave, major shirk takes the person outside Islam. And if somebody his intention is to worship Allah, but at that place, then what he's doing is something forbidden, an innovation in the religion, and is a means that will lead him on to this major shirk. It will lead him on to that. Because that's what happened with the people of Nuh. That's what happened. That's how, you know, first of all, they were intending to worship Allah at that place because they thought there was extra blessing in that place. And before long, that's it. They were worshipping the actual ones who were in the grave, or the images that were over their graves. So it leads on to a major shirk. It's an evil innovation, and it's a means to make, it's a lesser shirk initially, and it leads on to major shirk. Just very briefly, with regard to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his grave was outside his masjid. After he died, he was buried outside the masjid. He was buried in his house, which was outside the masjid, and that's how it remained through the time of Abu Bakr, and the time of Umar, and the time of Uthman, and the time of Ali radiallahu anhum. It remained throughout the time of the Khulafa al-Rashideen that the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was outside his masjid. And then one of the kings who came after that, from the Umayyads, he saw it from his ijtihad, because what they were doing was extending the mosque. The mosque had become too small. So they extended the mosque forwards, and they extended the mosque to the other side, and they extended the mosque behind. And there's no problem with that, extending it. But what he did that was a problem, he extended it to include the house as well. Which by including the house, it included his grave within it. So it was not done by the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather it was against his command. It was not agreed to by any of the companions. It was done after the time of the Khulafa al-Rashideen. And the scholars who were remaining at that time, they didn't approve of it. They didn't approve of what was being done. But they weren't listened to. Or some of them didn't speak. Weren't able to because of the rulers, and some of them just disagreed with it, but they weren't listened to. It was included. Yeah. But it's a distinction that the mosque has been extended to include it, contrary to what is usually the case you'll find in a mosque which has got graves, is that the grave was deliberately built inside the mosque. Or the mosque was deliberately built over a grave. That's usually the case. Most of the mosques in the world you'll find, which have graves in them, where we shouldn't pray, is either one of those cases. Either there was a mosque there and somebody deliberately built a grave inside the mosque. Or that they built, you know, there's a grave of a prophet or something, and they built a mosque around it. Wallahu a'lam.
Like, would have been open.
with regard to the saying, if it were not for fear of that, his grave would have been made open, means open to with no walls and things around it. It means they would have buried him in Al-Baqi in the graveyard, and you know, with just open to the skies, no wall built. It wouldn't be blocked off like it's blocked off now with walls around and to stop people committing shirk. So still they try to. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. Some letters in your requests and things, they put them through.